part 1, chapter 7, Purna, the complete perfection. Krishna has assembled his devotees, particularly his queens, in the hall, Dwarka, meeting hall, Dwarka. But Mahavati has been sent to another place after making some outlandish comments, unnecessarily criticizing the queens for their inferior position to the gopis. And we have heard Devaki and Rukmini speak very nicely the glories of the Vrajvasis, exhibiting the freedom from envy, which is characteristic of pure love for Krishna. So now we'll start the beginning from text 85. Tato nya bishchadevi bhir etat eva nunotitam moditam satrajiti padammana giham tas sabhavisha. Uddhava said, the other queens all agreed, only Satyabhama, Satrajiti, unable to tolerate those words, entered her chamber of anger. Text 86. Shri Prichiduhacha Srimad Gopi Janaprana Nataksa Kudam Adishat Sasamani Yatham Matra Murka Raja Sutadritam. Shri Prichit said, the Blessed Lord of the life of the gopis then ordered angrily, bring here at once that daughter of the foolish king. Commentary. In reference to Krishna, the epithet Sriman means endowed with the wealth of supreme love, or else possessing all beautiful splendor. He is the Lord of the life of the gopis, headed by Sri Radha. Or alternatively, they are the rulers of his life. Therefore, when Satyabhama, the daughter of Satyajit, showed displeasure at the glorification of the gopis, Krishna demanded she be brought before him for correction. And Krishna angrily reminded his devotees that his wife's father had been implicated in the scandal over the Syamataka jewel. So, of course, this is Krishna Lila. Yesterday we were speaking the glories of the gopis' love for Krishna and how it was free of envy, and also the glories of the queens of Krishna, who were very, not just willing, but eager to glorify and recognize the position of the gopis to be superior to theirs. But there was one holdout, Satyabhama. So she appears to, you know, nullify, she appears to nullify the principle that, you know, to achieve that level of love, you have to be completely free from envy. Because she's angry. She heard the glorification of the gopis and she's angry. So then one can say, well, then it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be envious. This is the position of the sahajas. They will take some incident, you know, out of context, incident to which they have no access, no understanding, no knowledge, no ability to hold in their hearts properly, and make an excuse or justify their misbehavior or their inability to actually surrender to Krishna's will and become completely free from envy. Krishna makes it very clear in the Bhagavad Gita that the most confidential secrets of the Vedas and of devotional service he gives only to those who are intimate with him, confidential. Bhaktusi me sikachiti rahasyam yeta uttamam. He gives so many instructions throughout the Gita to so many different kinds of people. He tells people who are very attached to the body, how they can become free from the attachment to the body. He addresses people who are bewildered about duty, how they should perform their duty without detachment. And for those who are confused about the identity of God, he makes it very clear that he is God, and that whatever anyone does to please God should be done to please him. And then, as he's explaining all these different concepts, karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, he finally comes to the point, to Krishna, to Arjuna, you are my friend, you are dear to me, therefore I'm telling you this secret. And he said even earlier, fourth chapter, Bhakti Sime Sikad Rahasya Yetavitava. So we shouldn't misunderstand Satyabhama's anger and her apparent envy. She is not envious. She is not angry because of selfish motivation. She is and that principle of showing contrariness, which sometimes is there even in the residence of Raj. Even the cowherd boys sometimes fight with Krishna and claim to be more powerful than Krishna and challenge him in different ways to fight and to... Because these are the spices of spiritual life that make spiritual life relishable, tasty. Krishna enjoys these things. He enjoys being reprimanded, by the gopis or by his mother, Yashoda, more than he does being glorified by the personified Vedas for eternity. But at the same time, here in Dwarka, the Samanchan love of the queens is analyzed by the acharyas to be proper love, proper in the sense that it is not like the love of Kubja, which was improper. Kubja, as I spoke about this before the other day, her heart was very strongly attached to the desire to enjoy her senses with Krishna. That was the predominant characteristic of her love. She wanted to enjoy her senses with Krishna. So therefore her love is called ordinary love. But the proper love of the queens sometimes the queens will show some attachment, slight attachment for their own pleasure in their relationship with Krishna. But that love is proper in the sense that it is born from the natural familiarity which comes from living with a person. You know, when you live with a person, naturally you get to know them. And you become very familiar. In neophyte condition, this is it is recommended, Vedas recommend, all the acharyas recommend, that a neophyte disciple in particular not get too familiar with spiritual master, for example, or senior Vaishnavas. Because that familiarity can turn, if it's material, if it's tinged with material concepts and feelings, can turn into something else. They have a saying in English, familiarity breeds contempt. You become too close and too familiar with someone, then it may turn into a awkward situation when it comes time for the superior person to deliver the goods. To deliver the goods means to correct, to instruct, to clean, to train the mind and the heart and the senses of the disciple. So Sakyabhama is in, not, she's not a neophyte disciple, she's not a disciple in a sense. In a sense she is, she's the wife. Wife is always considered to be the disciple of the husband. But still there's this slight desire in her, as there is in all the Krishna's queens, the familiarity of wifehood brings out this contrariness sometimes. And Krishna enjoys it. It complements, it doesn't distract, it doesn't destroy love for Krishna. It doesn't cause forgetfulness of Krishna. This is the difference. If our contrariness is out of our own selfishness, then we will forget Krishna. It will cause us to forget Krishna. It will cause our spiritual strength to diminish. It will cause us not to be able to follow strictly. It will cause us to back off of the clear line of spiritual practices that are drawn by the acharyas and by Krishna. So we should not think that Satyabhama's anger is something ordinary. We should understand that this is she's being used as an instrument by Krishna to instruct all devotees. Even Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada made it very clear that Arjuna was actually a very soft-hearted Vaishnava. His arguments were good arguments, and his tendency to not want to kill others and to especially loved ones and superiors was actually according to Vedic principles, and it was proper for a Vaishnava to feel soft-hearted feelings like that. But he wanted Arjuna to be the instrument to which he instructed how to become free from material attachment. And thus, you know, in the beginning of in the Gita, he called Arjuna a fool, chastised him indirectly. Ashok Chan, and Ashok Chasplum, Pagyaba, Ramstuba, Shasei. You are speaking learned words, but you're lamenting. A learned person doesn't lament. Katasum, akatasum cha, nanu shocha nipandita. A learned person doesn't lament over anything and everything. So, we shouldn't imitate, that's the point I'm making, we shouldn't imitate the activities of Krishna and his liberated devotees in the spiritual world, in his pastimes. If we try to imitate them and bring into our external behavior their behavior, then we fall victim to sahajism and worse, to mayavada. We should know who we are. We should know where we stand. And we should accept submissively the instructions that guide us out of the wilderness given to us by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita in particular, and by the orders of our spiritual master following the footsteps of Bhagavad Gita. Only by becoming completely purified of material contamination, completely purified of lust, greed, anger, avarice, illusion, madness, and all of these inauspicious material tendencies, can we actually enter into the spiritual world and share this variety of emotions, even contrary feelings and behavior, with Krishna in a way that's pleasing, in a way that's pleasing to Krishna, in a way that's pleasing to all the other devotees, and in a way that causes remembrance, increased remembrance of Krishna within our hearts, and within the hearts of everyone else that comes in contact with us. We should be very careful. So anyway, in this contrary situation, Krishna is about to instruct Satyabhama, and he points out the fact that her father was not clean. He was implicated in the scandal of the Samantaka jewel. He became too attached to the jewel and to the opulence that the jewel gave by the worship. And in this way, Satyajit was used as an instrument by Krishna in his pastimes. Of course, we know that this was all a very Jai Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Shri Shri Raj Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Shri 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 Govardhan. Of course, we know that there's more than meets the eye here. Rupa Goswami has described in Lalita Madhava how Srimati Radharani finally feeling such intense separation from Krishna that she could no longer tolerate it. She was carried by the Yamuna to the sun planets. And there she was adopted by the sun god and his wife. The sun god Srimati Radharani had been given a jewel when Shankarchuda was killed by Krishna. Krishna took the jewel from the head of Shankarchuda, gave it to Srimati Radharani as a gift. Radharani then delivered that jewel to the sun god. And the sun god, wanting to precipitate the pastime of the gopis expanding themselves to be Krishna's queens, delivered the Samantaka jewel to Satyajit, who was a worshipper of the sun. So on the plea of reciprocating with Satyajit, his devotee, the sun god gave the Samantaka jewel. And later he also gave Radharani, who became known as Satyabhama. So Satyabhama is actually an expansion of Radharani. So there's more than, there's more going on here than meets the eye. But still, the basic pastime and principles that are going to be described by Sanatana Goswami are clear, and we should hear this. But anyway, the scandal of the seventh of the jewel implicated Satyajit in a way that forced Satyajit later on to refuse to give back the jewel. Krishna asked Satyajit to give the jewel to Ugrasena, who was the natural king. Everything belongs to the king. That's how we should see. If we are a part of a family, if we are part of a community, if we are part of a nation or whatever, in the pure sense, in the pure state, we should see everything as belonging to the ruler or the leader. And that way we become naturally in our minds detached from possessiveness. Anyway, Satyajit was implicated, he became too attached to the opulence of the jewel, and Krishna asked him to give to Vrishena and he hesitated, he didn't do it, and then as a result, Samajipa jewel was stolen and then by his brother, and then killed, brother was killed, and Samajipa jewel ended up with Jambavan. You know the story. And then Krishna went, and then there was a plot. Actually, Krishna's name was brought up as a suspect in the killing of Satyajit's brother. So even, you know, serious, these were serious offenses. And there's histories behind all of these offenses. You don't have time to go into all the histories, but there's histories behind all these offenses. Different things that happen to different devotees as they go through the material world and finally come out the other side completely pure. In the process, they sometimes go through so many difficulties and so many things happen to them. So now Krishna is going to use this opportunity of Satyabhama's contrariness. She's the only one who doesn't agree with what Krishna just said, or is feeling contrary feelings, rather. And Krishna is going to use her as an instrument to instruct everyone else. This is the way of spiritual instruction. It's the way of spiritual life. The most learned person in the assembly speaks. The most learned person in the group of hearers questions. And the result is Shastra. Okay, now we'll go on. Shrishta vigaradhash abhimhana seva chaturjito nandahitum pravita gopala nari ratilampatam tam vartaram atyam vidhakta dharjam. Satyabhama, most expert in the arts of amorous love, was always ready to skillfully serve her husband in the mood of jealous pride, knowing him also to be fully conversant with the skills of love and eager to enjoy with the cowherd women. This is the natural psychology of conjugal love. The female will say no to the male, even though the male knows perfectly well that the female wants the relationship, in order to bolster the male pride of the man, and give him the feeling that I am conquering this woman. This is the psychology of conjugal love. And it goes on in every male-female relationship. Unfortunately, in the material world, when it's not pure, it results in horrible scenes, ghastly scenes, murders, and revenge, and so many scandals, even the bringing down of dynasties, and so many things have happened as a result of, you know, a man becoming too attached to a woman. But the real thing, the real conjugal affection and relationship is there, in the spiritual world. That's why if one wants that kind of relationship with Krishna, then first thing one has to do is give up that sex desire completely. It's not possible to have sex desire, and what to speak of acting on sex desire, and at the same time think that one is eligible or capable or wanting to have a conjugal relationship with Krishna. Not possible. Of course, even if we are not completely purified, by hearing of the pastimes of Krishna with his queens and with the gopis, Kubja, properly means without lust, and under proper guidance, proper also means from the right persons who can explain things in a way that leads one to proper behavior, then we become purified of that lust by hearing. So Satyabhama, you know, every person has an individual and unique relationship with Krishna. And Krishna tastes that relationship a little differently than with anyone else, particularly the eternal associates and intimate eternal associates. So Satyabhama is very skilled at this art, whereas Rukmini was more soft and submissive and mild and gentle and always submissive. When Krishna, you know that story when Krishna was once sitting with Rukmini and wanted to test her, so he began to explain to her how she had made a mistake by accepting him as her husband, and began to glorify all the kings, you know, that were hankering for her hand before he married her, and then denigrating himself, how he doesn't fit in any kind of social position. Nobody can tell whether he's a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a this or a that. And he's always confusing everyone with his inconsistent behavior. Anyway, he was joking with her and he wanted to see that little anger, that little spark of anger, which Rukmini also can give, but generally she's not, she doesn't. And but Rukmini didn't come with anger. She took him seriously and fainted out of ecstasy, out of fear of imminent separation from Krishna. She thought Krishna's actually going to leave me, which would be inconceivable to her, so she just fainted away. She couldn't stay conscious anymore. But Satyabhama sometimes, when she's a little fiery, you know, she comes on contrary. But she knows she's doing this exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna, because she knows Krishna is a connoisseur, rasik. He's a connoisseur of how to exchange loving dealings with all kinds of persons. He's expert. And he knows how to relish all the different moods and all the different contrary feelings and everything, as long as they're pure. So she's exhibiting this contrariness for this reason, only for this reason, to awaken and to arouse and to increase Krishna's pleasure. And we'll see the result. The result is that everyone becomes more Krishna conscious, not less Krishna conscious.
Nasi bayas tadushimavyam tasya kanya vichakshana uthaya bhajayantyangam tvalaya tattusagata.
Upon hearing this order from her maidservants, the intelligent Satyabhama got up, bathed, and quickly came before Krishna. Commentary. Satyabhama is Sri Krishna's very dear wife and would never act in such a way as to disturb his mind. She makes a show of petulance, that means anger, because she knows what gives Krishna pleasure. Being at heart a great romantic, he enjoys affectionate quarrels with his beloved queens. Calming the anger of his wives is one of his favorite diversions. And moreover, he feels great satisfaction in glorifying the gopis of Braj, including Chandravali and others. He is always eager to relish the sublime taste of their love. But why does Krishna take pleasure in the ignoble sport of struggling to subdue the pride of quarrelsome women? Because he is the topmost connoisseur of conjugal reciprocations. So these dealings give him unequaled joy.
Stambentar dhapya deham swam sthita lajja mayalitva saglakshya prabhuna prukta samrambhavishataksputam.
She hid herself behind the pillar and stood there, filled with shame and fear. Krishna noticed her and, still angry, spoke to her in a clear voice. Commentary. Although Satyabhama hid herself so that Krishna could not see her, he smelled her unique fragrance and noticed other subtle signs of her presence. Satyabhama often had fits of jealousy, and now she feared that by showing her temper at an unsuitable moment, she might have gone too far. The Supreme Lord's service should never be performed haphazardly, but always with careful attention to satisfying Him with just what He wants and at the time He wants it. This is the essence of devotional service. This is the essence of devotional service. To render service, not whimsically, haphazardly, whatever I feel, whatever I think, whatever pleases me, but very carefully, with extreme attention to the details of what satisfies Krishna. To give Him just what He wants, just at the time He wants it. Actually, this is the source of rasa-bhasa. So rasa-bhasa means when two things don't connect nicely, when they don't, it's like the gears of a machine that's a little bit off, and they grind, and they clash. They don't mesh and run the machine properly. So when we do our service for Krishna, but we're not being attentive to the detail, if we're not actually trying to please Krishna by giving the most perfect thing that He likes at the perfect time, in the proper way, in the proper mood, then it causes that tension. This is what causes tension in devotional life. And it's the only thing that causes tension in devotional life. This is the only thing that causes tension in devotional life. Therefore, when we're in tension in devotional life, unless we're very, very elevated and we're experiencing spiritual anxiety, which is possible, the anxiety we feel to be there on time, to do the right thing, to make it right for Krishna, that is the seed of spiritual anxiety in the spiritual world. It's the beginning. You know, we're in book distribution and, you know, we want to do it nicely, we want to get more books out. The anxiety that we feel to do something more nicely, to get the offering on time, to, you know, to dress the deities in a way that, you know, is most pleasing to them and to the devotees. You know, all these things. Now I'm working on this book, you know, it's like a big thing, 700 pages. You have to get everything right as possible. So it's a great anxiety, you know. You go over it and over it and over it. You find little things, little this, little that. And at some point you have to let it go. You know, it's very intense. And the, you know, the deadline is there. You know, May 1st, it all has to be finished. Come what may. Finished or not, it has to be there at the publisher. Because they've made arrangements and there's contracts and all these things. So the anxiety that we feel, you know, in devotional service is good. Sometimes devotees, they want to avoid anxiety. You know. But that effort reduces the taste of devotional service and generally takes one away from the direction of coming close to Krishna. Only those who are very serious and very attentive to the details, of all the details in a devotional service, can actually come close to Krishna. Therefore, if you were with Srila Prabhupada personally, sometimes I see people and hear people say things that Prabhupada said or use Prabhupada as an example of what you should do or not do. That's completely different than he was, actually, as a person. You know, when you went into Prabhupada's room, you know, everything was perfectly placed. Everything was clean to the nth degree. And it wasn't just because he had so many servants and people to help him that it was like that. It was like that from the very beginning. If you talk to the devotees who came to him in the very beginning of his life and asked him what his standard of living was. You know, there was that one fight with that, remember that, I don't remember his name, but there was one devotee who was, he invited him into the loft because he needed a place to stay, and he got that place in the loft, and this one crazy hippie was living there, and you know that person kept leaving the bar of soap on the floor of the shower. You know, Prabhupada would keep telling him. He said, "You can't do that. You can't. This is not right." And finally, because he was crazy, and he couldn't accept any authority, couldn't accept any instruction, he blew up in a fit of drug rage and just, practically almost attacked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada went out the door and like that. So, but point I'm making, there's many points involved in that pastime, but the point I'm making is that Srila Prabhupada was extremely pakka in all his dealings. He would train his GBC men in the very simple things, and in that way, in principle, they would understand how to serve the spiritual master. Like they would come, secretary would come, or servant would come and clean the desk. And you know, when they put things back on the desk, if anything was this far out of place, the way Prabhupada had it, he would come and he'd hear about it, like for a long time. One time Satsrup Maharaj was Prabhupada's secretary, and Prabhupada had written a letter. And in the letter, in the bottom of the letter, he said, I'm sending you something. It was another letter or another enclosure, a picture or something. So then Satsrup forgot to put the enclosure in the letter and sent the letter off. So when Prabhupada found out, he became furious. He brought Satsrup Maharaj in and he started to chastise him. He said, "Why did not you put that in the..." Satsrup was like, I don't know if you know him, a very humble, very submissive person. And he kept saying, "Prabhupada, I'm just a fool." And Prabhupada wouldn't hear it. He said, "Why are you a fool? Why have you done, what? And he kept going and kept... And finally, Satsrup Maharaj got intelligence to understand that what Prabhupada was looking was for him to understand what he should do. What he should do to correct it. And finally Satsrup Maharaj said, I will write a letter and I will explain and I will send the poster to Prabhupada." And then immediately the atmosphere changed. There was no more anger. It was finished. As soon as he got the lesson, as soon as he got the point he was supposed to get, then Prabhupada was again normal. Prabhupada was never overwhelmed with anger and lost control of himself and all these things. The point I'm making again is that devotion, the essence of devotional service is to please the person you're serving. This is the essence of devotional service. And here it is being reflected in Satyabhama's mood to Krishna. She knows just how far to go. And then if she thinks she's gone too far, then she backs off. Then she comes... Now she's no longer like that, like contrary. She's behind a pillar, kind of shy and looking, right? "Don't mind, forgive me," how ladies do sometimes. We'll hear tomorrow about this lovely exchange between Krishna and Satyabhama. Hare Krishna.